I welcome you on the Nurses Spiritual Program on 5th of June. So your question is, in the Vedic tradition, the soul has to take many births. So does he have to take birth into many religions also? There is a verse in Bhagavad Gita which says that yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajyate ante kalevaram, which means whatever we think of at the moment of death, that stage we achieve. So whether one takes birth in a particular religion or different religion or different species altogether, like birds or animals or anything, or demigods, whatever he thinks of at the moment of death, that will decide his fate. So it is not necessary that every human being who has become human being, after every soul that has gone through all the cycles of various births and now he has become human being or she has become human being, then there is a choice, there is a thought process, there is choice, there is activity, independence. And also in human life there is one more thing additional which is not in animal life, that is karma. All of you should know this, that only human life there is karma. When a tiger kills a deer, there is no karma, because they are just under the laws of nature, they don't commit any sin. But human beings have a choice to do this or to do that, and whatever he does this or that is a reaction for that, and that reaction and reactions and reactions and reactions that gather together, and that makes him think of a particular thing at the moment of death. You just don't think what you want to think. Your past karmas prompt you to think the way you want to think right now. That's why we purify our karma. Why we are performing chanting or prayers or reading scriptures or going to holy places and listening to holy stories of the Lord, read from Bible or Bhagavad Gita, all those things? Because we want to purify our karma. So once we purify our karma, our thoughts will be accordingly in the purified stage. Like after you become a doctor, you start thinking like a doctor, right? Before you are a student or you are a school student, once you become doctor, then you start thinking like a doctor. Or before you are unmarried, you don't think like a wife. But after you get married, you start thinking like a wife, right? Now you are thinking like a mother also, because now you got a child. Like Rupali is not thinking of being a mother, but now she is a wife only. But tomorrow when she'll get a child, she'll think of like a mother. Like that, when your karma will get pure, you will start thinking on the pure platform. And then our destination can be better. But without that training, without that practice, whatever you have done throughout the whole life, that will collectively appear in your mind at the end of your life. And that will take you wherever you are. Suppose you are too impressed with Baha'i religion. Suppose you went there and you like everything very much, and you are thinking about that, and that is your mood of thinking, maybe next life you will take birth in Baha'i family. Or I'm not very happy with my own religion, and I like Judaism very much. I study that Judaism very much, I study scriptures, I got very impressed. So next life if I have to come back, then my mood will take me there. So what decides your next birth is your mood. That is why it is said, right now, all of us, by our previous and current actions, are deciding our next body. All of us. We don't know that. Right now you are Mrs. Rinsey, for example. But whatever you are doing now, and whatever you have done in the past, and whatever you will do in future, is deciding your next body, where you will be. Including you are going to become male or female also. Including whether we are going to go another species or not. Everything is decided by what thought process you and me cultivate in this lifetime. Somebody who is living in a smuggler area is constantly thinking about smuggling, and all activities are going on around him the same way. So he is prompted to act in that particular way. Somebody whose father is a priest in the church, he will always talk about church and summons and chapter of Bible and Sams and this, that. So that environment is different, right? We had a schoolmate who was son of a pujari in Lakshmi temple, Mahalakshmi temple. in Bombay. So whenever we'll meet him, we'll talk about his father's pujari. Aaj ye puja hua, kal wo puja tha. So the environment where you are living in, you are brought up, prompts your thought processes. In my childhood, I was son of a shopkeeper. So my father would share his shop experiences every day. Some customer came, this happened, that happened. And then building mein kya hua, gali mein kya hua, kuch riots ho gaya. So we were brought up in that thought process. Then by the grace of God, we went into Hare Krishna temple. So our thought process changed. Now we don't think like we were thinking in childhood. Now we think differently. So changing or keeping your thought process is in your hands. And the company that you choose will prompt you to think the way they are thinking. So what is it said? You are known by your company, right? Because you think like the company. And if you keep devotional company, you think like a devotee. Not necessarily Hare Krishna or a Christian or a Jew or Roman Catholic. Devotion is devotion. It is not Roman Catholic devotion or a Hindu devotion. Devotion is devotion. We are talking about generic term, devotion. So when you are in company of devotees, then you are prompted to think like a devotee. About God, about devotional service, about pilgrimage. These topics will come in your. You'll not talk about Kullu Manali or Darjeeling or Shimla. You'll talk about some holy place, where we are going this summer, or this Diwali, where we are going, which yatra is going to take place. Oh, this year Vrindavan Yatra is there. So we think about which places in Vrindavan we are going to go. Sorry. So, that's why it is always said, watch your thoughts, because they will become words one day. Then we are saying, watch your words, what you are speaking, because they will become action one day. Right? It will turn into action one day. Then when you do action, you are told, watch your actions, because they will become habits. And when you are having some habit, we say, watch your habits, it will become your character one day. So from where it begins, whatever you are, from where it is begun? By a thought process. So it is not like that everybody has to become a Hindu or a Christian and then Muslim and then Buddhist and then this and then that. It's not a cycle like that. But everybody has to undergo a cycle of living entities. If we don't qualify to go back to God in this lifetime, if we do not qualify to become God conscious and we not qualify to go back to God's kingdom, then we have to come back again here as per our thought process at the moment of death. Today paper gave a news, that Jia Khan or something committed suicide, right? According to you, what must be your thought process at the moment of death? Whatever you read in newspaper, you tell me. You read? Did you read Janet? You read, right? Okay, what do you think her thoughts may be there in their mind while she was hanging on to the what is that called? Ceiling fan. What do you think she must be thinking? No, depression, but what is her thought? Depression is there, that's why she committing suicide.
Frustrated with all the things.
Yeah.
Alone.
She may be feeling lonely, or she may be feeling ki, why my boyfriend went with that other girl? Why is not loving me? Why is not responsible enough? Or, financial problems. So those thought processes will lead her to the next life. Wherever unfulfilled desires are there, she'll go to another life to fulfill her desire. Say somebody who wanted to marry, for example, if Rekha, the heroine Rekha, she dies, what would be her thought according to you? So she could not marry Amitabh Bachchan this lifetime. That soul who was in the body of Amitabh Bachchan this lifetime was unable to marry her, whatever happened in life. So she will think that, okay, may not be this life, next time again we'll meet, and next time there will be nobody in between you and me. I hope and pray, my Lord, I want him, this particular soul, as my husband next time. I'm just giving an example to you, it may not be true, but something like that. Now, unfulfilled desires also is another force which drives you from one place to another. Yeah, as per their connection to one another, they travel together. Suppose you are too attached to your family members and they are also attached to you. By the way, sometimes a one-way traffic is there. You may be attached to them, but they may not be attached to you. Mummy may be attached to children, but children may not be attached to mummy. In today's world, it's quite possible, not in earlier times. But suppose mutually you are attached to one another. Like I am attached to my wife and my wife also attached to me. Then we may both come to the same place together. As per your attachments. That is real attachment, not show bottle attachment. If you really are attached, ki, I will like to be with this person, or a friend, or a relative, or an auntie, or a neighbor, for example. There are many, not necessarily blood relations, but if there are some attachments in the connection, then you will come back again in the same place where they are going to be there. Because your attachments, your desires are leading you to that place. Ultimately, you know what is most important? Is a desire. What you are desiring now is leading you to words, actions, habits and character of this life. It will take you. Today, a Kerala girl who is 5-year-old, she is going to school in Kerala. But she comes up, grows up, little bit grows up and comes to know, oh, where is mummy? My mummy is working in Saudi Arabia. And she asks, where is my papa? He is working in Kuwait. And I am living with my grandma in some village in Kerala. So what she will think? I also grow up and I also will go to Saudi Arabia. Like that, everybody is trained up right from childhood to think that I must go abroad and work. Is that right? In your place, there is a thought process like that. And that's why you will find as soon as they grow up and qualify, they will end up in some other country. And they are very prepared mentally to stay away from family and brother, sister, mother, father, or husband, wife. They don't mind. They are somehow geared up that way. For Maharashtrians, you tell them, oh, no Maharashtrian girl will like to leave Maharashtra also. What to speak of Delhi and what to speak of Kuwait and America. They are so, you know, conservative in their lifestyle. It's not a bad thing. I'm just saying a thought process, different thought process is there. Or if you meet a Goan girl, and also very outgoing, you know, no problem, everywhere ready to go, bold, talking, no fear, no shyness, just you can stay anywhere, go to hostel and stay, no problem. But a Maharashtrian girl will keep crying, even boy will keep crying. Mummy, I remember you, I want to come to you, or you come to me, to stay with me, or cook for me. It's upbringing. So thought process leads you to do the actions. And those actions will have reactions, and those reactions will again lead you to further thought process and action. And that's way, this way, your whole life will go. Even in this lifetime also, your actions and thought process will provoke you to go further things. When your life will end, what is the sum total of your thought process will come in picture. Suppose you have 5 likings. You like money also. You like your husband also. You like your house also. You like your language. You like your country. You like your job, for example. But at the moment of death, one of these things which you like the most of all will come to your mind. Not everything will not come to your mind. Maybe when you have time before death, you will think of everything. But at the moment of death, that thing will come to your mind which is most dear to you. Maybe you love your grown-up son who is 21-year-old grown-up, you know, who is in America that time. And you remember him very intensely at the moment of death. So that thought process will lead you to that direction. It's all a very complex situation actually. Many karmas, many thought processes, they're all crowding in the mind, and finally one thought process is settled which is going to overwhelm you. And with that, one leaves the body. It's like that. And fear is one of the prominent features at the moment of death. Do you agree with me? Fear is one of the common emotion. Most common. Of course, saintly people are not fearful. When they become saintly, they lose all the fear. They become fearless because they are God conscious. But those who are not God conscious, the commonest emotion at the moment of death is fear. And that fear also leads them. Why some people are so scared of lizards? Are they going to kill you? But some women are so scared of cockroaches and lizards. What do you think the reason behind it is? So you are 80 kilos. The lizard is 10 grams. The lizard can make a hell out of you. Or cockroach, if it just flies from one place to another, it will make the life hellish for you. Cockroach is only 2 grams, you know, flying in the sky weightless. Because in some lifetime, the cockroach must have eaten you up. And as an insect or as something. Some people are scared of snakes very much. Maybe in some lifetime, the snake must have eaten you up as some insect. All there is connection is there. You may be scared of cockroach. I may not be scared of cockroach at all. In the same house, one in the same house and family, the husband is most fearless about any creature, anything, rats or any lizard, he's not bothered about it. Nothing happens to him. But even if it's a lot, he comes to the rat is there, the wife will become like crazy. She can't sleep the whole night. The rat is there in that house, in that under the cupboard I saw before sleeping. The whole night she will be awake. Husband will dance nicely, snore loudly. Or vice versa also, husband may be very scared, wife is snoring. It's possible. Everything is possible. So everything has got karmic connections in the past. Maybe commonly Marathi women are scared of lizards. Because they may have a common karma. That's why they may be having this. But maybe Punjabi woman may not be scared of cockroaches. She is brought up as a Kshatrani, you know. She is like fighter. She may not be get scared of. She will just start taking some chemical and start shooting. Finish off. So the answer to your question is, there is no hard and fast rule that you have to take birth of all kinds of religions or all kinds of bodies. They are dictated and directed only by the desire of the dying person. That's all. That is why, what is ultimately devotion to life, to God? In other words, if you want to define what is devotion to God, is simply learning to desire for God. To desire for God. Now you are desiring for the worldly activities, worldly pleasures, worldly things. You are desiring for car, desiring for marriage, desiring for property, desiring to go abroad, desiring to get your daughter married or whatever. Desires change, no, as per time. When you are fifth standard so girl, you will not think of my daughter should get married with a doctor man, you know. You are not even married, so your desires are different. But when you become a 40-year-old woman and your daughter is 15-year-old girl, so you will think, oh, I want to get her married to a nice doctor. So at time, that time the desire will come up. But whatever happens, so the whole process of devotional life is simply learning to desire the way Lord wants us to desire. What does Jesus Christ say? Thy will be done. What is the meaning of that? Your will should be fulfilled. That means I have also will, na? But I want to keep my will aside and keep your will in that place and want to fulfill that will. That is devotion. Simply accepting Lord's will as our will, keeping aside our will, accepting Lord's will as our will and trying to fulfill that. That is devotion. So devotion is not a dress or a lifestyle. Devotion is thought process. It's quite deep. It is not something superficial that I put this stamp on my forehead and you don't put, and she puts and she really doesn't put. It is not that superficial. It is quite deep. So there's a thought process behind doing all these things. And that thought process is very attractive to the Lord. What is Lord attracted to? So the thought processes. What he is saying? Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam. Whatever you are remembering at the moment of death. He is also saying whatever you are doing at the moment of death. Whatever you are seeing at the moment of death. Whatever you are saying at the moment of death. Or whatever you are hearing at the moment of death. He is not saying that. He is saying whatever you are remembering. What is your remembrance? Smaran. That will decide where you will go. So we have to come to a stage of remembrance of the Lord throughout our life, so that as a concentrated essence of our thought process is Lord only. By the way, it is turned into such a way that we have whole life thought about the Lord so much dedicated totally into Lord, so most likely you will remember the Lord only at the moment of death and not anything else. For that, you have to practice throughout life. It's not automatic. Nothing is automatic. Right now, what you're thinking, just take a moment and think what you're thinking right now. It's not automatic. It's a result of something happening in the morning or yesterday. If suppose your husband has fought with you yesterday evening, it may be still lingering in your mind behind. Okay, why he said like this? Why I answered like this? You're working, but still that thought process is continuous. It's taking you one to another. Today evening you go home, you are thinking, how will I look at him? How will I speak to him? How will he speak to me? How will I react to that? So your thought process is not automatic. It's based on some background. But that background, you can change. Is that right or not? Background you can change. And once you change the background, your whole thought process will change and your whole life will change. And we have seen how our life has changed. After we change the background of life, how gradually, knowingly, unknowingly, the whole life has changed. Even the people whom we are meeting have changed. What we talk with them is changed. Where we go is changed. What we do is changed. Everything is changed. Because voluntarily we have accepted a different background now. Childhood background was different. After coming into bhakti life, the whole background is different now. Even, bolte na Hindi mein, ki jinke paas utte baithte hain, wo log bhi change ho gaye abhi. Everything has changed. Our picnic spots have changed. Our food habits have changed. Our dressing style has changed. Our talking style has changed. Everything has changed. Once the core changes, everything outside also changes. Once something within changes, it has to change everything else outside. So let us all strive to change the thought processes. And why there is need to change thought processes? What is wrong and what is going on? You can ask me a question. What's wrong? What is going on? I'm a nurse, I'm working, I'm a mother, I'm a wife. Things are okay. What is wrong? The wrong is this, that at the moment of death, if you think something else, you will have to come back again here. And that time you may be in different setups altogether. Your thoughts will bring you again back here. Will make you accept another body, another life. Another life means birth, another life means old age, another life means disease, another life means death, old age, sufferings, heat, cold, insult, glory. All these things will be packaged into another life which you have to go through, which may not be very pleasurable. Even currently, it's not so pleasurable. The heat is not so pleasurable. Tomorrow it will start raining for 8 days continuously. That won't be pleasurable for you, by the way. Today you are waiting for the rain to fall, but once it starts falling, cats and dogs for 10 days, na, you will say, enough, band karo abhi. So everything is flooded and offices are closed, buses are not working, trains are stopped. You will say, bus ho gaya abhi. And then winter will come and it will become so cold and you will see, no, bus abhi, bahut thandi ho rahi hai. If you go to Vrindavan and Mathura, na, you can't even move also. So much of cold is there. You can't move also, literally can't move. I've gone in January this year. It was -1 when I went there. I could not get out of bed till 9 o'clock in the morning. I was up, I was chanting, but I couldn't get out of my rajai only till it became proper day, you know. It was foggy till 10 o'clock in the morning. So I had to wait till sun came out of 10 o'clock. Then I could get up my bed and start something else. So don't think that right now things are so pleasurable, not so pleasurable. The newspapers don't encourage you with the news, right? When you open the newspaper, does it encourage you? Always so many news are there. No positive news is there. Everything is negative. Somebody has committed suicide, somebody is raped, somebody is spot fixing, somebody robbed money, somebody politics, somebody thing, only filled with negative news. And they are called as headlines. The main news are all those. It's not that if somebody embraced somebody and expressed love and then they were discussing about God and they went to holy place and this group went to this holy place and these stories were told there. Nothing comes in paper like that. Only politics, crime, bad news only comes. So after you come back again in this world, the newspaper will not going to change. Newspaper will have another variety of news like that only. Because the world is full of this news only. Nothing is safe over here. So the answer to this question, why, what is wrong in today's thought process is, it may bring you back again in this world. And if you do not do anything actively, then passively you may have to go through next life. But what we are trying to do, whether we are going to be successful or not, we'll come to know later on. But at least, we are trying. We know our path is right, our process is right, but whether we'll end rightly or not, we don't know. But still, why we are doing all this is because we want to end this repeated coming back again and again. We want to end this once and for all. That's why we are working on it. When Jesus said, don't work for things of this world, work for those things of that world, right? Make your treasure in that world, not in this world. So he's trying to tell you what? There's another world where I'm waiting for you. Please come. I'm showing the path to you. Change your thought process now and become fit to enter there. Then I will take you there. Then my Lord is staying there. Everybody is loving there. There's no birth and death there. It's only happiness over there. You'll be very happy over there. But you have to change your thought process now of this world and qualify so that you can enter in that world. Any other question is there? Sir, yes, Sister Mary. Yes.
Somebody is in a coma.
Coma is a bodily condition. It is not spiritual condition. Because our basic understanding is what? You are not this body. You are a spirit soul. That's the first understanding. So when you are in coma, who is in coma? You are not in coma, your body is in coma. The soul is fully active, but because the equipment is spoiled, it's not expressing itself. That's all. The consciousness is still there. Something is still going on in the comatose person's mind. But you and me will tell, hey doctor, come, dukh raha hai mere ko idhar, jaldi aao, dard ho raha hai. But that person is in coma, so he can't say anything. That's only difference. My daughter, for example. What is wrong with her? Her machine is wrong. She is not wrong. So, if she has to tell her mummy so many things, ki maybe she is hungry, or she is getting pain in the abdomen, or she is getting pain in the head, or she is getting a fit. She may want to tell so many things, but her equipment is not proper for her to express to her mother what she wants. But that doesn't mean she has no consciousness. She has full consciousness, but the equipment that she has got is not proper. Same thing with coma also. Coma is much more deeper than what my baby is in. But inability to express is same. No? Like the comatose person cannot express what he wants to say. He may say, ki, bring my mother, I want to meet my mother maybe. But a body is in coma, he can't tell anybody around you, ki, bring my mother, I want to meet her. So, if one is in coma, nothing changes. Whatever the soul inside is thinking, that stage he will achieve without fail. So what we teach in end of life care is very interesting. What we teach in end of life care, even if the person is in coma, keep giving your spiritual care, because the person is able to hear everything what you are saying. Suppose right now Madam Redkar is thinking of going to mall in the evening, suppose. Suppose you are thinking of, I want to go and buy some nice cheese for my daughter. It's planning. And I talk about something which is totally distracting your thought process. And I tell you about Badrinath. And your thought is totally changed to Badrinath. It's possible, no? I can draw your thoughts to my subject matter by the power of my speech. I can turn your thoughts right now. I can just, you are thinking of something else, but I will make you think about what I am talking about. It's possible, no? So when I give death care and I take the name of the Lord and talk about the Lord's messages and Lord's verses and Lord's what he has said in the Bible and Gita. So if the soul in coma condition is thinking of something, some fearful conditions, and I talk something, maybe the soul's thought process may change because of the purity, sincerity and intensity of my thoughts. It may change and that may help him. on your own or on my own or on his own, he may not be able to think what is ideal. Because he may be lost in thoughts, you know, fear, something may be there in mind. But if we train him or if we prompt him or guide him strongly, maybe for that moment, his thought will change. And he will think of God and he may die immediately. That is the purpose of end of life care. Is to help you in your given condition to change your thought process and to think something else than what you were thinking earlier. Is it not true? Is it possible? If you are too much in tension and too much worried and too much fearful, and suddenly I come and tell you Hare Krishna, and you may say Hare Krishna to me, and you may also smile at me in the middle of your anxiety, just because Dr. Shanba came in front of me and said Hare Krishna, you may also, maybe artificially, maybe with great difficulty, but you may smile and say Hare Krishna and say maybe you die that time. Will it helpful to you or not helpful to you? It's like that. So end of life care is directed in that direction, so that a patient's thought process may be anything, but with the surrounding atmosphere and the strength and the intensity of the atmosphere, the thoughts can be changed of the dying person. That's why we keep continuous kirtan and continuous prayers and Ganga Jal, Tulsi, whatever helps to purify the atmosphere and the vibration around. You know something? Even if somebody is in fear and somebody hears the name of God sung in prayer or sung in kirtan, even the fear may vanish and suddenly the person may become happy in the middle of his anxieties and fear. It's quite possible. That's why we do end of life care. It may appear, kya abhi ye pani dalenge, tulsi rakhenge, iske andar bhi kuch bhagwan ka naam lenge usme. How is going to happen? Patient is in coma mein hai, to wo hilta bhi nahi hai. Aisa aapko lagega. But spiritual level pe aisa nahi hota hai. Spiritual level is very intense and powerful. It's active till the last moment. And we want to utilize every moment of the spirit soul's life in this body before it leaves. Any other question? I've heard about her. I've seen photographs.
From 1976 onwards, she's doing that life. What is making her to do that vegetative life?
We cannot ever understand the intricacies of karma. Don't understand. Nobody can pinpoint and say ki this mosquito bit you at 8:45 in the night on 19th April. Nobody can say that. It's only we are diagnosing something and then giving medicine and it works. But nobody can pinpoint na ki at 8:45 in Dadar railway station this mosquito was biting me. That's why I got malaria. It's like that. Which karma or which set of karmas has led her to this situation, nobody can diagnose. So what we should do in that case? We don't know anything. See, Lord's laws of karma and Lord's karma situations are very complicated. I don't know why my nose is like this and why yours is like this. Nobody can pinpoint ki what made me have this kind of nose and this kind of eyes and this kind of body. Somebody may be 140 kilos in weight, unable to reduce even 1 kilo also. So you must be wondering, what kind of karma must have given me this kind of body? Nobody can pinpoint. What we can only do is to show compassion and kindness. Now tell me, Aruna Shanba's case, according to you, what she requires?
She can hear, because her particular stuffiness is when they talk to her, she responds
to this. No, I'm asking you as a well-wisher or as a nurse or as an employee of government municipality. No, I am asking you a specific question. Listen to the question. According to you, what does she need now?
Compassion.
Anything else? All of you know Aruna Shanbhag, no? Yeah. Aruna Shanbhag's case is very famous. Came hospital, right from childhood, I know. She is there. I feel that she needs to get out of this life and not come back again. Because this life has been extremely harsh on her. You cannot imagine how harsh it can be. how much her mind and emotions must be damaged. You cannot imagine to what extent she must have got damaged in her emotions. That she has forgotten everything and she has got totally disoriented, and as you said, she has become vegetable life. So I would say after so much of suffering, one should not come back again in this life or this kind of life. Right? So she needs to get liberated from this particular cycle of birth and death. Is that right understanding? You all agree with me? Enough na abhi, enough suffering. I mean, how can you say ki, arre aur bhi jina hai thoda? No, you say enough suffering, so much suffering. You and me can't even imagine to in that condition. Can you imagine yourself in that condition? My God, so much suffering is there. And meaningless life, so to say. Nothing coming out of the life, only maintenance and only urine output and stool output, and what's coming out of life. And suffering is so much. And the soul may be suffering so much inside. I don't know how much suffering is there. So I would just like to create a very strong God-conscious atmosphere around her. Prayers, and many people can come and pray for her, pray to God for showing mercy to her and give her prasad. And if she can speak something, then make her chant the holy name, or you chant for her and give her holy waters like Charanamrita, Ganga Jal, Lords, whatever we do now, we Abhishek we do, so many things we do. All holy waters, holy things should be given to her. What I do for my daughter? Say, similar example, okay? I try to keep as strong God-conscious, Krishna-conscious atmosphere around her. I don't take her to any marriage or this thread ceremony or this and that, where people are going to come and chow, this will happen, gossiping. I'm not going to take her. I take her only to place where I am assured that holy vibration will be there. Either temple or some pravachan or some yatra or nowhere. She doesn't go to anybody's house for any function. I don't take her. At home, I will see that constantly the kirtan has to go around with her. Whether she's sleeping or awake, the kirtan has to be on. And whenever I get whatever holy na, immediately I give her. Like I got something for you also. Before I forget, I'll take it out. Otherwise, it'll remain in pocket only. I'll take it out. So like this is Narasimha oil. Lord Narasimha was massaged with this oil on his birthday on 24th of May. Right? So I got it from Mayapur, and I'm applying to her. I get Radhaka Gopinath Mahaprasad, immediately I feed her. I get some Tirtha or something, I immediately feed her. Whatever is given to her is all prasadam, cooked with love and devotion by her mother. She's constantly praying while she's cooking that food for her, grinding or making that liquid. She's praying constantly. While feeding, she is also singing the holy name. While bathing, she is always singing holy name. She is constantly singing. My wife is constantly singing the holy name when she is with my baby. When baby is crying also, she is singing. Different prayers she is singing. So what we are trying to do, that the soul should get so much spiritual nourishment that at the end of this life, the soul should not come back again in another body. The same treatment Aruna Sandbag requires. I don't know what municipality laws and regulations are, but what she requires is that only. She should be regularly fed prasadam, regularly given some holy waters, and if anything comes holy, should be applied on her head, like that. She should be connected with God as much as possible in her given conditions. She may not be like doing like you and me, response-wise. But passively, she should be nourished in the best possible way in God consciousness, so that her karma will become vanquished, nullified, and she will go back to God in the end of life. Or at least not go in a same condition, go in a better condition, closer to God, closer to devotees of God who are kind and compassionate, not like cruel somebody did to her. It's like that. Everything is karma connected in this world. Law of karma exists. You cannot say, I don't believe in karma. Then why I am the way I am, and why you are the way you are? You may say, I would like to be 5 feet 7 inches beautiful girl with long straight hair. But you may be 4 feet 9 inches with a lot of curly hair and dark color. So who has decided that? Our past karma has decided that. And accordingly, we have taken birth in a particular family and particular background and like that. So we have to break this cycle of karma in this lifetime. And that is possible by your thought process, your activities, what you listen to, whom you associate with, what you eat, will all change your karma situations. Lord has made a very strong and beautiful statement in Bhagavad Gita about this karma. Lord says that those people who eat food offered to me get freed from all karmic bondages. And those people, he says, in the same verse, who eat even vegetarian food are still bound with karma and birth and death. Because even vegetarian food has karma. Only the food that is offered to God gets freed from karma. So he says, my devotees, because they eat only food offered to me, they are free from karma. You can go and read 3rd chapter, 13th verse, 3.13. Yadnya shishta sino santo bhunjate sarvakil bishai. Those who offer food in sacrifice to me and honor that, they are free from all the karma. That is why we eat only prasad. It's not because I like it and you like it or our group likes it. It's not like that. It's given in scriptures. And I want to get free from karma, 100%. So I'm only eating only that food that is offered to God. That one of our sisters who is in the community department in the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, she opened a tiffin for me that day in the gate. Sir, please wait, sir. I've got some prasad for you. So she opened and there were dabba full of fresh, fragrant, sweet, fragrant jackfruit. And I asked only one question to her. Madam, tumhi hai नैवेद्य केला का भगवंताला? नहीं सर, ते भगवंताला नैवेद्य नहीं केला. बोला, आई एम सॉरी, देन आई कैन नॉट टेक इट. यू टेक इट टू टेम्पल राइट नाउ, ऑफर इट देयर एंड ब्रिंग, आई विल इट. तो त्याने केलं नाही, तर मी नाही खाल्लं. ऑल्दो इट व्हेरी अट्रॅक्टिव्ह, व्हेरी फ्रेग्रंट, मे बी व्हेरी टेस्टी, कुड हॅव बीन टेस्टी ऑल्सो, बट इफ आय अंडरस्टूड दॅट आय वॉन्ट टू टेक ओनली दॅट फूड विच इज ऑफर्ड टू गॉड, अँड हाव एवर अट्रॅक्टिव्ह इट इज, आय विल नॉट टेक इट. Maybe on the road you'll find shops and jalebis and so many attractive things on the road. But even though however attractive it is, we're not going to eat it because, you know, it's not offered to God. We'll offer to God only and eat it. So that is what? That is change of thought process. That's all, nothing else. Before you were eating, wherever we go on the seashore, we were eating bhelpuri and pani puri and everything on the road we were eating. But now we don't eat because now we have changed our background and our thought process. Any other question before we end? Why we go to yatra? Why we go to holy place? To further change our thought process. To strengthen our current thought process in depth. Okay, if I think of God, I want to go there and 4 to 5 days, day and night, I want to think only of the Lord. Now I go to work and I also think of the work. I also, morning I home I work, office in the afternoon I work, again in the evening I home I work. And in the evening 5 minutes, morning 10 minutes, maybe Hare Krishna devotee 2 hours, he will think of the Lord. Maybe he will read something, one chapter, one sloka of Bhagavad Gita, and he will sleep. But the same person will go on yatrana, from morning till night, he will be dwelling in the thought of God only. Either he is visiting a God's temple, or hearing about the Lord, or going to next God's place, or chanting, or attending a prayer, aarti, or dancing, something or other of God only, full time he is doing. So that will give you in-depth strengthening of spiritual consciousness. 4-5 days, sometimes 10 days. But that is required. It's called as a, what we do at 5th year of a baby. Child is vaccinated fully. But at 5th year, what do? Give a booster, right? What is already vaccinated, but why we give booster? So that you push up and give more immunity to child. So at 5th year you have a booster dose. So what is yatra? It's a booster spiritual dose. What you're doing every day throughout the year is a booster, so that when you come back you can do all those little things in a more better way, more stronger way. You feel now when you come back your chanting is different, your whole thing is different. Again it fades off, but when you come back, many days you are reeling in the mind, oh, yes, last Sunday we were in that place, oh, last Monday we were eating over there, oh, last Saturday we were dancing in that place, Prabhuji told that story, you know, that bird came, Prabhuji told about that bird, something connected to story. So you will reel, although you are in Bombay, but you are reeling in thoughts of that place. Not only in that place, but here also it is helping you to remember the holy atmosphere. That's why we go, booster our consciousness. And I am inviting all of you, please you also come. So when you go more and more times, na, you know what happens? Very nice thing happens. When you go more and more times, then all the time you are in some other place mentally, even though physically you are here. There are so many places you have visited in this last year that you are in Bombay right now, but either thought of Udupi comes to your mind, or kind of Nasik comes to your mind, or thought of Mayapur comes to your mind, or thought of Vrindavan comes to your mind. Because see, this year, I was telling him yesterday, I went to Nasik 3 times, 2 times Adhik Mas and 1 time Radhashtami. Then I went to Mayapur with the devotees. I took them, devotees, 200 devotees. You had come? Mayapur. Okay, in Diwali time. Then in the month of February, I was in Barsana, and 25 days I was there giving lectures, taking devotees for 2 yatras and all. I came back and I went to Mayapur again for the Mayapur hospital. So in between I went to Mayapur, Vrindavan for Yamuna Mataji left her body, so for Samadhi ceremony I had gone in the winter when -1 degree was there. In the next week I went to Udupi holy place again for 3 days. So many visits of holy places in this last year. So if I meet Mr. Shetty of a canteen, turant my mind goes to Udupi. If I meet Dr. Chaudhary, so immediately my mind goes to Barsana. You know? If Dr. Deen Pavan Krishna Prabhu calls me from Mayapur, immediately my mind goes to Mayapur. So you can be here, but still your mind can dwell in holy places. So that you can keep on thinking of the holy place and the pastime of the Lord. And what do you think when I am planning for the yatra? I am not here, I am there only already. I am bodily here, but when I am planning for yatra, I am already there. I am already there planning from which place to which place, how to go, which bus we will take, how many hours it will take, and then where you will take prasadam, where you will sit down, where my lecture will be. So I am already there. My mind is only, body is only here, but my mind is already there. So we only live from yatra to yatra. Only in between the mind comes sometimes to Bombay. And we work in Bombay, but ultimately we are there only. So hope is that, hope kya malum hai, hope. When time will come to leave this body, I should be mentally in some holy place. That's the only plan. So I'm practicing to be in holy place mentally. So maybe at that time I'll be in some holy place. And I'll go to that holy place after dying.
We are going to Madurai first and then Rameshwaram.
No, we are going to Rameshwaram first, then Madurai, then Sri Rangam. By air you can go to Chennai, then you can take a train to Rameshwaram,
but
Madurai, yeah.